We're doing Begavot with Rabbeinu Yonah, and we had learned Hillel taught us Al Tamin Ve'atzmechad Yomotcha. Don't believe in yourself till the day you die. And Rabbeinu Yonah went with one interpretation, and then he continues and says, Gam ne'inyan emunah ne'emar davar hazeh. With regards to our faith, Hillel also was speaking when he said, Al tamin be'atzmecha, don't believe in yourself till the day you died. Leval tilmod min aminin, ve'afilu min advarim amitiyim ki pkiatan ra'a. Don't learn from apostates, even when they're telling you the truth, because all encounters with them are bad. Pen yifatucha chateihem, lest they seduce you with their sins, ve'ledivreihem teve, and you'll succumb to their words. Ki hem moshchim et halev, because they say things that are attractive. Ve'al ta'amen be'atzmecha ad yom motcha, don't have faith in yourself till the day you die. Lomar eshma'em, to tell yourself, I could hear them. Ve'et ha'tov akabel ve'et ha'ra lo akabel, I'll only take what's good. Very often a person says, I can handle that. Shelo tismoch al da'atcha. A person shouldn't rely on his own take of things. Kasher samar Rabbi Meir, as Rabbi Meir was confident, Belomdo lifnei Elisha, Acher Hamin, Rabbi Meir learned by Elisha ben Avuya, otherwise known as Acher, a Jew who became an apostate, and he was Rabbi Meir's Rabbi, and Rabbi Meir continued learning with him, saying that I'll be able to discern between what's right and wrong. Kedita Masecht Chagiga, as the Talmud tells us in Tractate Chagiga, Shamru alav al derech mashal, Rimon matzah tocho achal klipato zarak. The Talmud says that Rabbi Meir found the pomegranate. He ate the inside and threw the peel. So our sages say that, yes, Rabbi Meir was able to do that. No one else did. And the Talmud even says that the rabbis held it against Rabbi Meir, that he continued learning by Acher. In Halacha, we don't rule like Rabbi Meir. It doesn't say Rabbi Meir's opinion that if there's a Rebbe, if there's a teacher who's an apostate, don't worry about it. If you can really master what he's got right and wrong, so go learn by him. No, it doesn't say that in Halacha. It says, don't learn by him. It says you could only learn by someone if you really feel like he's worthy of teaching it. Yeah?
Well, I think it was learning. Well, we still hold Rabbi Meir. You hire a guy, they was told the reason we don't learn by him is because, not because he's wrong, but because he's beyond understanding. Maybe that's another reason he could handle that.
We hold Rabbi Meir in high regard, and yet we hold this against him.
Yeah. Even though, now when you say, I'm not sure in English, that somebody who I know gave up the faith but stopped practicing or converted to another faith. In this case, I think he didn't become an idol washer or anything, did he? I mean,
I don't know that he became an idol worshiper. If I'm not mistaken, in the Jerusalem Talmud, it says that he did give people over to the Romans, meaning that he was a moser. He didn't only stop observing Shabbos and other things, I think. Yeah.
He thought that there was more than one. Yeah. He saw Metatron.
What's the lesson? What do you expect from a descendant of a Melech?
According to Hagiga.
Right?
Oh.
I don't know.
He was a descendant of a Melech.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense now.
He was a descendant of who?
Connection. I just happened to,
who, Rabbi Meir?
One of the strangest things is they say, you know, even from a Melech could come a great...
But Rabbi Meir was a giant. Every mission almost is Rabbi Meir's opinion. We don't look down at Rabbi Meir. No. We're saying, as amazing as he was, on this point the rabbis didn't agree with him. It's not clear if they didn't agree with him because he was wrong, right, or they didn't agree with him because they were concerned that others would learn from him.
They couldn't handle it. That seems to be what it says here with the pomegranate. Now, your situation, your statement that he was an informer... That's bad.
I think that's what it says in the Jerusalem Talmud. I think so.
ולא כל בני אדם שווים כאשר אתה מוצא
ביוחנן כהן גדול ששימש בכהונה גדולה 80 שנה לבסוף נעשה צדוקי. You see, not everyone's equal. The Talmud tells us there was a high priest named Yochanan. For 80 years he was high priest. And then he became a Sadducee. He turned on our tradition.
At 80 years old, right?
He must have been older than 80.
He's 80 years of serving?
He was 80 years of Kohen, yes. So he must have been like 100.
I heard it was 55 years something. His name was Sarah. He's 80 years serving in Kohen. That's amazing.
So he's 80 years of Kohen Gadol, didn't you?
Right.
Right.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He was over 100. Yeah. Ki bishma otam afilu bedivrei Torah yesh bedavar onesh gadol ad meod. That's why he warns us. You see, even giants like Yochanan Kohen Gadol at some point was led astray. And that's the warning that a person shouldn't listen to what they say, even if it's words of Torah. I remember I visited a friend of mine one Sunday morning, and he says, "You got to hear this." And I hear this guy on TV blasting away. I say, "What's that?" And it was, I don't remember his name, there was this guy, a priest who used to preach on TV, Sunday mornings. Afterwards...
Did you see him when you were a kid or something?
No. Afterwards they found him with some women in the back seat or something. What was his name?
There were a few televangelists
like that. There was a televangelist who was in the cup with a man. That's very funny.
I don't.
Anyway,
I don't remember who it was, but he said, "Ah, right, Billy something, right, Billy something." Ah, he was caught with a man. Okay, so. That was the one he was listening to. I remember the name.
Yeah,
Billy. So he said to me.
Jimmy Swagger. Jimmy Swagger.
I'm just saying, he says to me, "This is my Musar Shmooz on Sunday morning." So that's what it says here. No, that's wrong. You can't say, he said to me, "I listen to them and then I become a better Jew." No, that's what the Mishnah is telling us you can't do. You can't have confidence in yourself, even if a person says, "Ah, I'll get the good out of it." No.
Just along those lines, quick, I heard Rabbi Soloveitchik's name. He studied, the University of Berlin, philosophy, and one of the other, you probably know, Torah luminaries he studied with at the same time. And they heard, who was the Nazi philosopher who became later Heidegger? One of these guys, and afterwards he turns to his colleague and says, "Where do we sign up?" I mean, he was so convincing. And you see, another example, the idea being that they can make an argument that's dead on, deals in every way, may be true in a certain level, but incorporated.
The danger is that you're, like he says, you shouldn't, al tamin me'atzmecha, don't believe in yourself, and... He says, even if you hear words of Torah from them, yesh badavar onesh gadol ad meod, that's a severe punishable crime. Kedamrin, as the verse says, aloto chacham shenimsar leminim. The Talmud tells us in Tractate of Avodah Zarah that one of the sages was given to torture by the Romans. V'amulo shema minut shamata ve'en hanacha. So over there, they're having a conversation. Why do I deserve this? The two rabbis are in jail. And they both know they're going to be tortured to death. And one was asking the other, okay, what did we do to deserve this? So one of the things they consider is, maybe I listened to an apostate and I liked what he had to say. So you see, the Talmud says that would have been a weighty enough sin that would have explained why he was going to be tortured to death. That's the way they looked at themselves when they were talking, these two rabbis in jail. So that from here, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, from here we understand that the rabbis viewed this as something very severe. Yeah, a person shouldn't just say, there's a good message here. No, there's problems here, even if there are things that seem good. Yeah?
So if we're saying that even like the biggest of the big, even they can be led astray, isn't like one of the...
Even they can be?
Can be like led astray, like even they can like become seducers or whatever, they can force him whatever... Isn't like one of the requirements for like them to become part of the Sanhedrin, they have to know every form of Avodah Zarah? How do they
know it?
Find the strength to sit there and learn this stuff, and to know that there's such like a big risk that it could be.
Ask about Shalir.
Okay, so the Talmud tells us that this was part of their tradition. They learned it from a rabbi. They didn't go to Avodah Zarah school. The Gemara discusses that they knew the sorcery, they knew the stuff at least as well as the sorcerers. They knew all these tricks and the other stuff. It says. Look, yesterday someone came to shul and started doing magic. So, magic.
An honor for him.
So, they made things levitate, and so people were very taken by it. I guess it was what?
Arsenal,
yeah. So, kids were standing there watching, and the kid was a wise aleck. He said, "Rabbi, you know how I do it?" I said, "Do you want me to show?" I can illustrate, but when I'll be done, it won't work. So you decide. So he said, "No." Okay, but I'm saying there are things you learn. And they learned it from their rabbeim. It's not. I didn't learn it from my rabbeim. I learned it as a kid. I'm saying, but I could teach it to you.
Must have seen like some point, like someone along the line, must have like seen people doing this, and then like wonder, like how is he, you know what I'm saying, like even like if so, you know, the Makor, the first person, the Yid, when he taught it to his Tamidim, I mean the first Rav must have like seen like, okay, this is what they're doing, you know, how do we know the Malach was offering the kids to the fire, we saw them trying to get in the fire, you know.
So for now, let's leave it as a question. Maybe sometime down the road we'll revisit it. What we do see in Talmud that they had a tradition. You're saying, where did the tradition start? So I think if you listen closely to the Ramban and Rosh Hotaran, we really covered that. But I don't mind going through it again, but not today.
It's, just one thing, yeah. Because it's struggling. It seems to be a conflict here. I'm not understanding it correctly. I can certainly understand, you know, not hearing words of Torah from an apostate, but you also say a wise person will learn from everybody. If there's wisdom among the nations, believe it. So to learn mathematics or to learn, you know, it shouldn't seem a problem. I don't think. Here it's like just saying anything they say is dangerous. Stay away from a non-believer. In other words, don't learn anything from Professor Einstein or whatever, you know.
So I think we have to discern between an apostate, which in our day you might say that's a missionary. I think that would go with, the same would hold true for the evangelicans. I'm saying so. What we have today, right, they're offering a lot of money. They're offering a lot of things for free.
Right.
And it's very dangerous. I mean, take for example, they offer a free day camp.
Yeah, no. I that's why I asked earlier on when I said, "Did he become another idolater?"
Right. So he's not talking about someone who's a professor of mathematics and something else. I'm saying he's talking about someone. Right. He's talking about someone who's an ardent believer in another path, and therefore he's going to slip it in.
That makes Rabbi Meir seem not a good example, because Rabbi Meir even said to his student, right? I'm sorry, not Rabbi Acher, said to Rabbi Meir, remember, you go back. When he's on the horse, you can't go further, right? On Shabbos, remember, that's one of the very few things that I learned.
Right, but
so
there's...
he wasn't trying to make him an apostate.
That's a good question. It doesn't seem that way. It seems that he was.
Ah.
Because you see that Rabbi Meir said he discarded the peel. That means there was a peel.
Okay.
That means that Acher was slipping in things that came from his philosophy.
He was like a good missionary, you could say, at that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. He was very dangerous. Rabbi Meir knew that he can take some of what he said, and he knew what to take from it. But that means there were things not to take.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified, because I thought at first this was basically... anyone who fell off the derech, any non-believer, you know.
I don't think so.
That's helpful.
It says specifically a min, and he's saying again that min is Rashi very often explains are those that will twist the words of the Torah against us, or the way the early Christians would do. They would take verses and try to use them against us. Today, most Christians don't know the verses to begin with. The only ones that are left that will actually do this are the missionaries. So that's where it comes up.
This is a question that I've heard asked a few times. I don't know if you've ever actually given an answer about these other things, like these people, like all these like Eastern medicines and like the martial arts and yogas and stuff like that. They're all, to some extent, like coming out from like these Eastern religions, and like, but we.